Hello, I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and you come to me for hard facts. The world keeps turning, and you're trying to keep up.
The fight against coronavirus has the Oxford.
But there's so much noise drowning out the news. Talking heads, broadcast messages, press releases. They're telling you their side, but you just want the facts. And that's why you come to me. I give you the statistics without spin.
Out of 116 million working age Nigerians, 35.5 million are employed full-time. That's 30%.
I give you the context.
I give you the history.
I fight fake news with facts.
Kayode.
Let me talk.
No, Kayode, I will let you talk. Kayode, I will let you talk if you let me talk. Kayode.
That's why more and more Lagosians are tuning in.
Half a million Lagosians.
720,000.
970,000.
Over 1 million Lagosians say no. That if you give me your afternoon, I will give you hard facts.
Well done, Sandra, and all you do. Going beyond the headlines and focusing on the facts.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
First hard fact of the day, 36 confirmed COVID cases yesterday. 21 of those were from Lagos. It's looking very good right now. We have to find a way to keep it that way. Seriously, Lagos, limit your movement when you must go out to work, to buy essentials, wear a mask, keep your distance from people. And remember the warning of the health minister here in Lagos, the health commissioner here in Lagos, who's talked about, well, we have the Delta variant as the most common one, and that one spreads faster than all the other COVID viruses in the world. He's also expecting that we're going to have a fourth wave because of all that. I just got back, so we'll just get back by the end of the year. Which brings me to our second hard fact, get vaccinated. Vaccinations are ongoing at the moment. So please go and get vaccinated. We need to make sure that you are safe. We need to make sure that the people you care about are safe. See, I've been vaccinated since March or April, and how many months later, and I'm fine. There are at least 6 million Nigerians who have gotten their first dose. 6 million Nigerians, just like 1 million Lagosians, cannot be wrong. So be like them. Huh? Do it for yourself. Now, don't forget, of course, that if you go to any of the 135 private hospitals in the state that have partnered with the state government to administer the vaccine, you're going to pay 6,000 naira. But if you don't want to pay that money, simply walk into any primary healthcare center and get vaccinated free of charge. That 6,000 naira that you pay in a private clinic is because of all the incidentals that will go into providing your vaccine. So the syringes, the tissue, the spirit, the label, etc., etc. That's how they are going to recoup it. In the primary healthcare centers, government has already absorbed all of that cost. That's why it's free. Remember what I always say, nothing is free, even in Freetown. So go and get vaccinated. Just go. Which brings us to our third hard fact. 6 days before the four-person panel must submit its white paper on the NSAS panel report to the Lagos state government. All of Lagos is waiting for the government's next response. Even though some people will tell you that it looks like we are seeing the government's body language, if you listen to the government's lawyer during the NSAS panel, now Lai Mohammed, who we'll be talking about on today's Big Three. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's just wait. Let's just wait. Have a little faith. Let's see what the state government comes up with. The panel they've set up. Let's see what they come up with as their white paper. But thanks for tuning in to Hard Facts for today. I have a great one for you. We'll start with the Big Three. Let's talk about the simultaneous road work on the mainland and the traffic it is causing. Those of you who live in Surulere or who have to travel through Surulere, how are they do? Wait till they occur. And then we'll talk about Lai Mohammed's response to the NSAS panel report. And then let's talk about the federal government wanting to replace fuel subsidy next year with a 5,000 naira per month transport allowance for the poorest Nigerians. At 4 o'clock, it's semi-final number 2 of the I Beg to Differ debate tournament. 12-year-old Imanola Nadi versus 15-year-old Uchechukwu Golding. Two excellent debaters. Which of them will face Tamvita Kaushik in Thursday's final? Find out at 4 o'clock. Which reminds me, people are saying a lot of things, you know, since we started this debate. I'm reading a lot of the comments on Facebook. Some people wondering, well, where's Tamvita from? Some people asking, oh, should we allow you know, people who don't talk like us, who don't look like us, to be a part of this debate. And it's making me, you know, want to ask, have you forgotten that you're competing on the global stage now? The people you're going to compete with don't look like you. They don't sound like you. How are you going to compete with them and win if from day one you're already saying, oh, fix the competition so that I can only compete with people like myself? The world doesn't care about what you want or what you like. The world just makes you compete. So the earlier you learn to do it, the better. No? And away from that, Nigerians participate in all these competitions abroad, and they do very well. Imagine if all the people in all these countries say to you, oh, because you don't look like us or you don't talk like us, you cannot win our debate competition, or you cannot win our math quiz or our science quiz. We celebrate them. So let's celebrate Tanvita Kaushik. She's doing well for herself, and she's got one more debate to go. On today's Big Heart Fact, let's talk about the road to 2023. It's the latest stories from the world of politics. So stuff like the APC agreeing on a convention date, Stella Odua's corruption case getting stalled, all of that. We'll talk about it at 5 o'clock. Don't miss it. And as usual, we'll have news updates at the top of every hour for you. Listen to everything we do today. Try not to miss out on anything that happens on this station today, because we always have the sauce. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, Lagos. These are your hard facts. This is
the Big Three on Hard Facts.
On 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Work in Surulere have been handled more efficiently. Do you think they could have handled things there more efficiently? Is Lai Mohammed's assessment of the NSAR's report accurate? And can the federal government pay Nigerians a transport allowance transparently? Those are your big three, Lagos. Let's talk. Our first story is about the road construction work in Surulere and how it's affecting traffic. First of all, you have the work on the stadium flyover. It started last week. It's going to run until Christmas Eve, according to the State Transport Ministry. In the first phase, the road is closed from Alaka to the stadium service lane at Barracks. This diversion is also affecting traffic from Apapa Road and the Oyinbo axis. But that isn't the only road that is closed right now. Yesterday, LASMA also closed parts of Marina Road due to Blue Line construction. We also have the Red Line diversion. It's been ongoing since October, and it will continue until the end of the year. That's in the Yaba axis, and it affects the connection to Murtala Mohammed Way and Western Avenue. It's a perfect storm in parts of the mainland right now. So many arterial roads are closed right now, and I want to know how that's affecting your commute. I'm already seeing some complaints on social media, but I want to hear from 1 million Lagosians how the road closures are affecting you. Also, I want us to talk about the planning. How did we end up with so many road projects in the same area at the same time? Could this have been avoided? Could these projects have been spaced out over the year, for example? I've seen some comments suggesting that the state government is rushing to finish the Red Line and the Blue Line. Remember that back in September, Governor Sanwo-Olu promised that both lines will be ready by early 2023. So that's a bit more than a year from now. So maybe the only way to meet that deadline is to work on both lines at the same time, even in the areas that are affected by both. But I want to know if you think it makes sense. Could this have been avoided? Could these projects have been spaced out? How did we end up with so many projects in the same area? How is it affecting you and your commute to work and from work? Was there a better way they could have handled this, in your opinion? Women, call us on 01465-7190. Men, call us on 0700-993-993-993. 0700-993-993-993. We also have WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. 080-959-75805. That's for WhatsApp. We're streaming live on Facebook, so share your thoughts with us. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. Let's speak with Anthony, who is at Stadium. Anthony, welcome.
Yeah, good afternoon, President Sandra.
Good to have you on the show, sir. Welcome.
Yeah, my name is Anthony. I'm coming from Adeniro, Ogusoya. From my papa to Adeniro, Ogusoya, to Stadium. Sandra, this project is not helping us at all.
Right.
The traffic is, you know, especially if your AC is not working, you will sweat as if you are in the ocean.
I can imagine.
It is not helping us at all.
Can you imagine?
At least we should have, I think the government should have helped, like doing it batch by batch.
Okay.
You do this for 6 months, you do this for another 6 months or 1 year.
Okay.
But it's not helping us. We are not finding it easy in the traffic.
Okay.
It's not easy at all,
Anthony says. Thank you so much for calling and giving us eyewitness report from the spot. Emmanuel is in Shomolu. Hi, Emmanuel.
Sandra, good evening.
Good evening, sir. Welcome.
My own issue is on this road closure and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think Lagos State Government is doing so many things at the same time.
Okay.
When you go, Maita Mohammed connecting Ido, that one is blocked. If you are going to from Fadei to Stadium, it's blocked. I don't know what they want. They're not the level of maybe vehicle movement in Lagos just for an hour. Talk more of. So they're supposed to find a way. Those projects are supposed to be going on at least. If they finish one before, they can start another one, not starting everything at the time, suffering people.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Emmanuel. We've got Jeremiah in Ikorodu on the line. Hi, Jeremiah. Good to have you on the show. Hello, Jeremiah.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening, Jeremiah. Welcome.
I think this traffic situation is getting worse. That Simba's road you're working on, that one is blocked. That Simba's road linking Unilag is completely blocked. They work, in fact, the tractor they brought to go and work with that is I've counted like four. The chain tire has caught. Now, it's like work is now almost semi-abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
Work is as slow as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
The other link, you have to link Baregia, which is through Bajulahi Road. So-called, the local government said it's fixing it.
Right.
They blocked the road.
Right.
For like 2 weeks or 3 weeks now, I think that road has been blocked.
Right.
No way to access Baregia. The only way now you can access Baregia is through Abule Gesha.
Right.
And that place is only traffic, only traffic. The stadium room they blocked, I didn't even know. I entered that traffic yesterday.
Right.
I spent close to like 30 or 40 minutes on that same traffic. That stadium road and thereabouts. With the Yaba Road access and everything else. I don't know. If they are doing the work and you come and see that they are serious with the work, that will give me a little like, oh, they will finish it.
Mm-hmm,
but when
mm-hmm.
you get there, you've got like two or three people just dusty one or two things and they just go and sit down. It's kind of like, it's frustrating in Lagos.
I can imagine. Thank you, Jeremiah, for calling. Chris in Surulere is a first-time caller. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Sandra. This is Chris calling from Surulere.
Good to have you on the show. How's it going?
Oh, so I do school runs on that section of
Surulere. Oh my God!
Every morning, and it's just hellish.
I can imagine.
So I've had to park. Luckily, this afternoon I have my domestic help with me, so I've just had to park on the moving side of the road. Have I used the footbridge to go and pick my child from school?
Hmm.
Otherwise, if I end up in that traffic, your guess is as good as mine. Yesterday evening, I had to actually cycle, use a bicycle. Not for school runs anyway, but to do something on that axis.
Hey, at least you're getting in some exercise, you know?
Yes, I was happy with that yesterday. But everywhere is closed. So if you know Surulere very well,
right,
the census market is also closed. So everybody is forced to use Alhaji Masha to come out of Surulere. And then when you get to the stadium, you also have the traffic causing. So there is this confusion all over. I think this mentality is that they are doing us some good because they are fixing the roads and then we can go to hell. I know 2 weeks ago, Eko Bridge, you pass that place every morning, you see nobody walking and the roads close. You come back in the evening, you see nobody walking on that section of the road and one half of the road is closed. So I really don't know what is happening. Is there no Department of Planning in Lagos State? The whole of COVID period last year, the lockdown, they did nothing on Anaraka Bridge. And immediately after lockdown, it was eased. They closed the roads to repair works. So you're wondering what is happening. I just thought I should contribute to that. But Lai Mohammed and his twist is sad how far we have fallen to as a country. In a week's time, we'll get the white report. We'll wait until then.
All right. Thank you very much, Chris, for calling. And sorry about the hardship you're going through. Austin Ibejuleki, welcome.
Good afternoon, ma.
Good afternoon, sir. Good to have you on the show.
It has been hard to have you, but I have a little problem to complain. Especially that road on the Zulere. We don't have too much of hard time there, especially when we get ourselves on the road going down to Yaba side to go and do some office chores. Too much of traffic. The construction there, I don't really know. It's supposed to be in phases. They're supposed to do that work on phases. But doing this job at the same time in a very close area, Lagosians are suffering. Lagosians are suffering. Then, another thing I want to bring to your information, because I heard you say the COVID vaccine is free. But eventually, that was yesterday, I took an Indian man from the refinery down to Akodo General Hospital.
Okay.
He said he had his first dose in India.
Okay.
So right now he's in Nigeria. So the second dose, which he went for, they asked him to pay 10,000 naira, which we were like arguing about it yesterday. I said I should bring this to
which hospital? Which hospital did this happen at?
General Hospital Akodo.
Akodo, okay. Yes. General Hospital Akodo.
Yes, they demanded 10,000 naira from him, and I said no.
Good. Don't pay because it's free. Good.
So I say, let me try and inform this radio station because Nigeria Info has been there fighting for us and telling us on how to go about it. And I told them I'm going to report this to the radio station, and which I have just done now.
Good. Thank you for bringing it to our attention.
Finding about that.
We will.
Because
we will.
It is something that is free. Nobody is buying it.
Exactly. It's free.
10,000 naira.
Ah.
People was even bargaining for 5,000, 3,000, they say no. If it's not 10,000, they are not giving. And I say, don't give money.
Did you find out the name of the man?
There are ladies. There are three ladies. They are the one in charge. When I went to...
Did you find out any of their names?
No. I went to the payment cash place. I said, are we paying for the COVID vaccine? He said there is nothing concerning general hospital with it. They have been sent here. Everything that is happening there is on there. I said, okay, who are we paying to? They say we should pay to them cash. And I said, we are doing
nothing. You're doing no such thing. Austin, thank you for not doing that. And thank you for bringing it to our attention. We're going to take a look at this particular story. Thanks for your time, Austin. All right, Lagos, let's take more of your thoughts. I'll take a look at messages on WhatsApp very, very quickly. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. 080-959-75805. I tell you this, Sandra, the federal government intends to increase the price of fuel next year. And that's why they're trying to deceive Nigerians that they'll give 5,000 naira as transport allowance to the poorest of the poor. I bet you after they increase the price of fuel, Lai Mohammed will later refute the claim that the federal government did not say so and they are quoted out of context. If this does not happen, I cease to be called Kenneth from Shasha. Kenneth, thanks for your message. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll move to our second story, incidentally, about Lai Mohammed. He insists that there was no Lekki massacre. He says the NSAS panel report is not credible. That's our second story. You can find me on social media, Sandra Ezekwesili. Don't go away. Lai Mohammed insists there was no Lekki massacre and says the NSAS panel report is not credible. That's our second story. If you just tuned in, hello to you. Good afternoon. You're listening to three of the biggest stories on Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Ever since the panel submitted its report, lots of you have been telling me you want to hear what Lai Mohammed, the information minister, has to say. Well, now he has spoken. Before I get into what he said, I need to point out that he's responding to the report that leaked online. Lai Mohammed is talking about that online report as if it's the authentic report from the panel. That's important to note because up until now, the Lagos State government has not acknowledged the online report as authentic. But it seems even the federal government has now done so. Now, on the other hand, Mohammed also points out that the report is not official yet. But that raises the question, why respond? Anyway, let me quote you some of what Mohammed said. Quote, without mincing words, let me tell you that never in the history of any judicial panel in this country has its report been riddled with so many errors, inconsistencies, discrepancies, speculations, innuendos, omissions, and conclusions that are not supported by evidence. What is circulating in public space is simply a rehash of the unverified fake news that has been playing on social media since the incident of October 20th, 2020. End quote. So Mohammed is calling the report fake news. He also repeated his position that there was no massacre at the toll gate. He said, quote, gentlemen, there's absolutely nothing in the report that is circulating to make us change our stand that there was no massacre at Lekki on October 20th, 2020. For us to change our stand, a well-investigated report of the incident that meets all required standards and will withstand every scrutiny must be produced and presented to the public. The report in circulation does not meet those requirements. End quote. Mohammed also challenged family members of the victims to come forward and rubbish the claim by the panel that these family members are afraid. He said, quote, we also appeal to the family members of those allegedly killed in Lekki to speak out. It's untenable to say that some families did not come out because they are afraid. Any parent who is afraid to testify about the death of his or her child is not worth to be called a parent. End quote. Mohammed's words, not mine. So Mohammed says, there's no reason for anyone to be afraid to step forward. But Kamsi Ibe may disagree. I told you about her yesterday. Wemimo and you talked about her this morning on the Crossfire during the Chit Chat show. She testified at the NSAS panel. And two nights ago, thugs macheted her at a bus stop in Shangotude. According to her, the attackers told her that it was because she testified at the panel. Yesterday, I told you about Sarah Ibrahim. She also testified at the panel. She was at the toll gate on October 20th. She was addressing the crowd when the shooting started. She was the one that kept shouting, sit down, sit down. Well, she went to visit Kamsi in the hospital after the machete attack. When she came back to her car, she found notes in it telling her that she was next. You talked about it this morning with Wemimo. So when you hear Kamsi's story and hear Sarah Ibrahim's story, what do you think of Lai Mohammed's assertion that Witnesses of the Lekki massacre and family members of the dead don't have any reason to be afraid to step forward. Away from that, what do you think about Lai Mohammed's response to the online report that he says is not authentic but has a response to anyway? WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. Call us on 0700-993-993-993. That's for men. For women, 01465-7190. 01465-7190. You can also share your thoughts on Facebook. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. Let's speak with Ezekiel up first. Ezekiel is in Ekpe. Hi, Ezekiel. Good to have you on the show.
Hello, Sandra.
Good afternoon, Ezekiel. Welcome.
Good afternoon. How is everything?
Everything's fine. Well done.
Sandra, do you know one thing that surprises me?
What's the thing?
And I'm not, in other words, surprised, because the likes of Pharaoh has once been in that shoe. When you think you are a god on earth. Now, look at the case study you brought to fore, even this afternoon, about the two, about one that was macheted 2 days ago, about another one that is a target now. Now, Sandra, let me say this to you, and I believe strongly that I think the citizens knows what to do when the time comes. You see, Sandra, as far as this country is concerned, I keep saying it, what has never been recorded in the history of humanity is about to happen in this country. Because nothing goes forever. I repeat, the citizen actually knows what to do. Let's wait and see.
Ezekiel says, Ezekiel, thanks for calling us. Women, call us on 01465-7190. 01465-7190. We've got comments on WhatsApp. Let me take one of them very quickly. Shegun Akerele from VI says, I support Lai Mohammed. No massacre at Lekki. I was around toll gate that day. Other area boys were also around. They shot at people at the other side. In fact, our vehicle was attacked. Let's stop all these cries. Not only Lekki, we have incident. What about police who died on active duty? Who we fight for them? I do not believe the panel report. Shegun Akerele, thank you very much for your message. We've got someone who says, Sandra, you see the type of country we are in? See what a Minister of Culture and Communication is saying. Obino from Shomolu. Let's talk to Ekaite in Agbado. Ekaite is a first-time caller. Hi, Ekaite.
Good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon. Thanks for calling.
Welcome.
We did try you.
Drama.
No, be
this
small.
This country. See, we don't need any comedy film again. Just open your radio and be hearing drama from old men. Men that have grandchildren, that have children, have family. They don't even have feeling of human being. Human being feeling. They don't have conscience. Like Mohammed, the dead man will die.
Thank you very much for calling us, Ekaite. Good afternoon, Sandra. My name is Stephen. Lai Mohammed will always be Lai Mohammed. And I don't blame him. Okay. The country doesn't value the lives of citizens. I pray that one day we'll come out and fight for a better Nigeria. Let's speak with Victor. Victor is in Bariga. Hi, Victor. Thank you very much for calling us.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Victor.
Yeah, Victor Vatili is my name. I'm calling from Bariga.
Welcome. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to talk about Lai Mohammed's statement in respect to the Lekki massacre. We know actually that Lai Mohammed most of the time doesn't tell Nigerian truth. And we know actually what he normally speaks when it comes to such a thing. And let me ask, you send soldiers to Togate. What are soldiers are trained for? Are they trained to start shooting people? What are soldiers are they trained for? What are they trained for? What do they have on their hands? Is that not gone? Soldiers are trained to kill. They are not trained. They are trained to kill. And what I'm trying to say is this. Since federal government have accepted that soldiers went to Togo, what did they do? What did they went there for? Did they went there to see the protesters? What was their mission there in the first place? Let them not worry. 2023 is coming. When 2023 coming, we know what to do. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Victor, for calling. Adam says the road closures and its effect on transportation is a total horror story. It makes the Okada remember them. You know those things which were being crushed, an essential tool, especially if you want to get to your location on time. Let's talk to Shola Inikotun, who's also a first-time caller. Hi, Shola.
Sandra, how are you?
I'm very well.
All right. It's good. You know, I feel good. Being able to contribute my own opinion.
Mm-hmm.
See, this country, you know what baffles me, Sandra?
What?
Okay, talking about this issue of Lai Mohammed, you know, disputing what is very, very glaring to everybody, even with the report that came out. And, you know, they just keep lying. What I actually think about is, what is in that government house? You know, once they get to that power, what is that thing that turns or that kills their conscience? Is it that there's something, is there an evil spirit there or what? Even, you know, you see them crying when they are not yet there, shedding tears, as if they mean well for the people. But once they get there, for what I know is that these people will be judged. Whatever you do, you will always reap. Whatever you sow, you will reap. They are surely going to, you know, reap what they have sown. God help Nigeria. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling. Let's talk to Joy in Agbara, and then we'll move on to our final story. Hello, Joy.
Hello. Good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon, Joy. Welcome.
I want to make my own contribution.
Yes,
regarding to what Lai Mohammed said.
Mm.
See, why is it that does not have fear of God in this country? Why? And for him to say the people they keep, their family members should come out. How can they come out in this kind of situation, knowing that their life is in danger? See, everybody will reap his what he did. So even if you throw stone in the market, if he does not meet, it will meet your relatives, it will meet your children. They should continue.
All right, Joy, thanks for calling. The federal government may replace fuel subsidy with transport allowance next year. That's our third story. We heard this from Zainab Ahmed, the finance minister. She said, quote, the subsidies regime in the sector remains unsustainable and economically disingenuous. Ahead of the target date of mid-2022 for the complete elimination of fuel subsidies, we're working with our partners on measures to cushion potential negative impact of the removal of the subsidies on the most vulnerable at the bottom 40% of the population. One of such measures would be to institute a monthly transport subsidy in the form of cash transfer of 5,000 naira to between 30 to 40 million deserving Nigerians, end quote. So the idea is that if you pay the poorest 30 to 40 million Nigerians a 5,000 naira transport allowance, you can offset the benefit that would be lost if the subsidy were removed. Now, that's between 150 billion naira and 200 billion naira a month. So between 1.8 trillion naira and 2.4 trillion naira a year. Now, why is this being discussed? The argument is that the subsidy regime is wasteful. It doesn't meet its intended goal. The goal was to cushion the cost of transportation for the poorest Nigerians until Nigeria had enough refining capacity to provide affordable fuel. However, according to the World Bank, the poorest 40% of Nigerians account for only 3% of fuel consumption. The richest 60% of us consume 97% of the fuel in the country. That means that the richest Nigerians are the ones benefiting the most from subsidy meant for the poorest. It's the men who are benefiting. So the idea of this direct payment is that you can focus the money on the people that it's meant for. Now, like I said, going by Ahmed's figures, this proposed transport allowance will cost the federal government between 1.8 trillion naira and 2.4 trillion naira per year. But here's the important fact. The same finance ministry says that we're spending 1.8 trillion naira on subsidy this year, and that this figure is unsustainable. So if 1.8 trillion naira a year is unsustainable, how can 2.4 trillion naira in fuel allowance be sustainable? The math is not mathing, or is it just me? Is the math mathing? Tunde is in the studio shaking his head. It's not mathing, Abi. The only way the fuel allowance cost ends up lower than the subsidy costs is if the government pays fewer than 30 million Nigerians, or the government pays less than 5,000 naira per month, or both. So that's the how much question, but there's also the how questions. How does the government choose who will benefit from this thing? How does the government pay them efficiently? How does the public verify that the money is going to the right place? When it comes to choosing beneficiaries, if we go by what the Buhari administration has done in the past, then it will come down to the social register. That's that list that the government says contains the poorest households in Nigeria. It's been used for sharing relief materials during the COVID lockdown, as well as school meals. But there are lots of questions surrounding the social register. Lots of questions about how the households were chosen, what data was used, what verification methods. The second how was payment itself. In the past, government has had serious problems bulk paying beneficiaries of programs. Most recently, we saw the problem pop up with the 774,000 workers under the Labour Ministry scheme. A program with 30 million beneficiaries or more is bound to stretch government's capacity to pay people in time and in full. On the other hand, this could be the perfect opportunity for the e-Naira. That's Nigeria's new official digital currency. It's supposed to enable instant funds transfer to people's phones. Digital currency payments can be automated. So in theory, if the government is using e-Naira for this project, all they need to do is create the smart contracts, add all the beneficiaries' wallets to it, and the money can be paid from federal government's accounts straight to each person. It's what the economists now call helicopter money. But of course, the question is, you know, will the e-Naira infrastructure be set up properly to handle that kind of use case? Am I getting ahead of myself here? I think I may be getting ahead of myself here. I think the most important thing is even the issue of transparency. We all know examples in the past where money meant for citizens is diverted because the public cannot monitor the program. Even in the civil service, we have ghost workers being used to divert money budgeted for salaries. So the question now becomes, how much of this 2 trillion naira transport allowance can be protected from corruption, from graft? So many questions, so many issues that I've raised. Just find one side of the cow and sink your teeth into it. 01465-7190. You can still talk to me about the traffic situation for those on the mainland where there's so many road constructions going on at the same time. Or you can talk to me about Lai Mohammed saying that the panel report that leaked online is tales by moonlight. Or you can talk about our final story. What do you think of this plan to replace fuel subsidy with transport allowance? Do you think it makes sense? Is the math mathing for you? Do the numbers make sense? If you think it's a good idea, what do you think would be the best ways to identify the recipients? Pay them directly. Keep the process transparent. Let's speak with Oluwashola in Bariga. Hi, Oluwashola.
Fine. Fine. I want to talk on Lai Mohammed.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, Lai Mohammed now coming out. I hope as a information minister, he's supposed to listen to what is going on. Lagos State has set up the panel, and they gave the day of the when the report is going to ready. They should follow it up. And what is it, the president's advisor, Femi Adesina, as he said, when the report come out from Lagos, the federal government will do their own part. That is what they told the secretary, U.S. secretary that came to Nigeria. And for him now to come out, it's like he's using his own government separate. He has to respect Mr. President because he was the one that called him to come and work on his government. Now he's trying to ridicule him. If he does not respect Mr. President, he should respect us. Well, coming out to come and say something is not acceptable. He should control himself. He's just trying to defend his own statement before, which is not acceptable. Coming on the 5,000 to the poor of the poor.
Mm.
I don't think they know what they are doing. They don't need to go that way. How many poor do they know is buying petrol every day? They should just prepare for 2023 election. How is it going to be credible? That is what we need now. Thank you.
Thank you, Washola, for calling. All right, we already have Alex on the line, so we'll talk to her and then come to social media for your comments. Hi, Alex.
Yeah, hi, Sandra. How's it going today?
I'm very well.
Yeah, you see, Zainab Ahmed, is that her name?
Yes, Zainab Ahmed.
Yes, she's the king of projects that we will never be able to verify. That's her favorite area. It doesn't surprise me at all that she has jumped on another opportunity again to throw another ruse at Nigerians, things that we will never be able to verify. Does she have a digital signature of all these citizens that she wants to be putting money across to? Look, if by now you do not have a digital signature of this, I'm on the road, I'm not driving though.
Well,
there's a bit of noise.
If you
don't have a digital signature, Sandra, then what she's doing is a fraud. A few days ago, we debated this on Wemimo's show where some people were saying, I got some money. Some people were saying, I did not get some money. And I said that a dead clock is correct at least twice a day, Sandra.
Mm.
If you woke up in the morning and decided to spray some notes out of your window, trust me, Sandra, some people will catch it. True?
Mm-hmm.
Some people will catch it. That's why I say it's a fraud. Because how about those who... How do we verify what is left under your bed? Sandra.
Good question. Thanks for calling. We've got someone who says, I think the panel made a mistake to come. I think the panel made a mistake not to have invited him to come and prove his point. Maybe his opinion is not important. Dinan from Oshodi with that message. Dinan, thank you very much. Let's see more messages here. Lots of them are complimentary, so I'm doing my best to pick the ones that will not put me into trouble. Ezen Ojo says... As I beg, we've got okay, let me go to Facebook and see if the comments on Facebook are better. Oh wait, I can't even go to Facebook because we're out of time. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back from this break, we'll bring you I Beg to Differ. Our students are already here. They are hoping to be the next one to cinch the final spot in our finals on Thursday. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili on social media. This is Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info.